Steve, good morning, everyone. We welcome all of you that are here, that are visiting with us today. We're glad that you're here, and we trust that you'll come back and be with us every opportunity that you possibly can. We are thankful indeed that we have another day that we can worship and serve the Lord. Now, I love that passage of Scripture. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, on Thursday morning, I got up. I want to explain a little bit to you. Thursday morning, I got up, and I mean, I was doing well. Before 7 o'clock, I already walked my mile. I was just thinking everything's going great today. Dr. Woodall had told me to go over and get involved with the wellness center over at Madison, and I was following directions just right down the line. But I got back in the wet area, and nobody was in there but me. And guess what? I must have slid on something. Something that was slippery. Water and all. Anyway, all of a sudden, I went down. Boy, as I was falling like this. And I turned my head back like this and crushed my shoulder. And boy, I finally got some attention from one of the workers there, the people there. And they grabbed me up and they put me in a wheelchair. And since it was right next to ER there, Madison, I was over there in no time. If you ever want to have a fall, perfect place to have it. Trust me, right there next to the hospital. Took me in and room 16. Came in and the doctor, they had all these different tests. They want to make some x-rays. And one of the things kind of frightened me, so we want to take a PET scan on you because said we want to see if you broke your neck. Boy, right then, I was really scared. But fortunately, that did not happen. But I have to go tomorrow and check out a problem that I'm having here. I can actually use my fingers and all really well, but I cannot lift my shoulder like that. And I have an arm thing that they put on me. Should have worn it, I guess, today. Eddie's got one on his right. Mine's on the left, and so that'd make a hole for both of us. Pray for us, and I hope that everything tomorrow will turn out good. May have to have some surgery, but if I don't, I'd be really happy about that. Just keep praying, though. And so that's what happened there. This morning, I want to study with you a lesson that's close to your heart and close to my heart. One that I don't believe there's a single individual this morning would not want to hear. It's a lesson concerning, look at this picture. I tell you what, a couple of weeks ago, they asked me to come out there and be with all these children. We stood on the side out here, and what a joy it is to be able to stand up with little children. And I just treasure that. And I guess we had 30 or 40 that were not able to come out and be with us at that time. But every single one, and then a lot of times when I go in the back there and stand, some of the smaller children would come out and they'll stand by me. I really appreciate that. As a matter of fact, I love it. The little children are close to my heart. But what will these children look like in 20 years from now? What will these children be doing 20 years from now? I want to tell you this morning, so much will depend on us. What is God's plan for our children? In Matthew 18, the question was asked, Lord, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, who do you think would say? Well, there are some people would say, well, say maybe some preacher, some elder, some deacon. Look what the Bible says. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They want to know who it is that is the greatest, most important in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus called a little child unto him, and he set him in the midst of them. Can you imagine the Master, the Son of God, Jesus himself, picking up one of your little children, calling them over to where he is, and them coming over there, and the little child, and he set him in the very midst of his disciples. He's teaching them a lesson. What a tremendous lesson. And Jesus said, I'm going to tell you. You ask me the question, who is the greatest in my kingdom? I'll tell you. Unless you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You want to know who the greatest of all in the kingdom of heaven is? He says, unless you become like little children, you humble yourself, as Jake read so well this morning. Humble yourself as a little child. Children are so humble. And Jesus said, you become as little children. You shall not, you cannot, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You've asked me a question. And Jesus said, I've answered it. And that answer is, become like a little child. Have the disposition of humility. Love me like a little child would love me. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. You see this child? When I called for the little child, what did he do? The little child came to me. And he says, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And I want to tell you something. Jesus added to it. Whoso shall receive one such child in my name, receiveth me. If you receive a child in my name, you're really receiving me. What a lesson. But if you offend one of the little ones which believe in me, offend, hurt, yes, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Lord, what are you saying? Jesus said, become as a little child. Stay as a little child, being humble and meek and following after me. Otherwise, you become an offense. Here is what will happen to you. In Matthew 19, 13 through 15, the disciples, they were brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. The Lord has more important business to do. Look what the Bible says, but Jesus said, allow or suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. He had time for them, little children. Then as they grow up, 20 years from now, what would they be like? Jesus, children, and as they keep growing, He tells us that they are great, and He wants us to be like them. There's a passage that every young person in this building needs to learn. There's a passage that every mother and daddy needs to listen to. There's a passage that every grandma and grandpa, that every individual in this building needs to listen to. It's directed to the young. It's Psalms 119 and verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? You want to be acceptable, pleasing, cleansed in your ways? The Bible says, here's the way to do it. By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. What does that say? You want to be right with God? You want to be cleansed with God? You want to be the kind of person that God wants you to be? Here's how it is. You take God's word, you study God's word, you pay attention to God's word, and as a result of such, then you will be able to be among those people that have cleansed their ways by taking heed to the will of the Lord. Every young person needs to learn that, and all of us do. Keep learning it. There are so many examples of the value of children, young people taught in the Bible. I want to mention three, I believe it is, this morning maybe, that we don't usually consider. Number one, John 6. There was a large group that had assembled, and they were there to listen to Jesus as Jesus was teaching them. And the Bible tells us here that there was a problem. The problem was they were tired out. They were hungry. And the multitude was hungry. And they're still late in the day. Now, of course, the Lord knew what he did, but Jesus asked Philip where they would get enough bread to feed the crowd. Philip did not know, but doubted that it could be done with the limited resources they had. They had 5,000 people there, plus the women and the children. How are we going to feed this many people? Guess what? There was a solution. Andrew sought for that solution. He found a young man. Now, this is real interesting. He found a young man with a meal of 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 small fish. Can you imagine that? Somebody had been thinking about something, hadn't they? The young boy had carried with him something to eat. And the Bible tells us the young boy was prepared. And then when they asked him for his lunch, what did he do? He willingly let them have it. And the Bible tells us that Jesus took the food and he gave thanks to God for it. He distributed the food to the disciples, who took each piece that they were given and started handing it out to the people all around them. And surprisingly, there were plenty of food to go around. When everyone had finished eating, the disciples gathered up the food fragments and brought them back to Jesus. In the end, they gathered up 12 baskets full of food. Surely, my friend, we should be willing to turn over everything we have in service to our Lord. And the great lesson that we can learn, it matters not how old we may be. Young children, middle age, regardless of who we are, let's be willing to trust the Lord with anything that we have that God can use for us. Secondly, there was a little maid over in the Old Testament in 2 Kings chapter 5. And she had been taken in. And she was serving Naaman, Naaman's wife. And the Bible tells us in 2 Kings chapter 5 about the little maid of Israel. And she knew something from when she had come. She was in a land that was not her home. She was actually there against her will. And yet she still loved the people. And she loved her mistress's husband in the sense he was a leper. And now then she tells her master, or tells her mistress, and told, I wish that he was over there with the man of God, Elisha, because that man could heal Naaman's leprosy. Naaman, the captain, the host of the king of Syria, he was a great man with his master. He was honorable. And so as a result of such, the maid now is telling how this man who is so important could be healed. And as a result of such, what happened? We find that the Bible tells us Elisha was contacted. And Naaman comes. And finally, Naaman is cured of his leprosy. Why? Because there was a little maid. They call her a little maid from the Bible. Perhaps very young. And she was concerned about her mistress' husband. Daniel and his friends. Third example. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Now, some have concluded that they probably were between 10 and 30 years of age. What can children do? Do a lot. We don't know exactly the precise time when Nebuchadnezzar built that statue and he commanded people all to fall down and worship that statue. But I do know one thing from what the Bible tells us. There were 3 children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three children stood up for what they believed. They were offered food and drink. They were against the Jewish diet. Daniel chapter 1. And Daniel later in his life, about 80 years of age, was thrown into a den of lions. But here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are told not to do what? They have already been taught not to eat something that was contrary to what the Lord had commanded them. And the result, of course, was that they themselves were saved, even though they were thrown into a fiery furnace. The New Testament is just filled with examples of young people. In Luke chapter 2, we have Jesus himself, 12 years old. Where is he at? He's in the temple. What is he doing? He's talking with those people about the God that he served. When his mother and father found him, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, as they inquired of him, "Well, where have you been?" His answer was, "I've been about my father's business." What an attitude for young people. Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, the Bible tells us that Paul was writing to this young man, and he said to him, "And continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child, what from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." What will our young people there in this picture out here that we saw just a few minutes ago, what would they be like 20 years from now? I tell you what they have learned, what they have seen, what you and I have done to help them, that will help to mold them and make them the kind of people that God wants them to be. Surely, a survey was made of some 25 readers of a magazine in 1986. It's a long time ago. But look at what, at that time, there were 77% of people from the age of 18 and 35 who said they prayed a lot. You know, it's a great thing, pray. 87% felt like God was helping them. Yet nearly half of those who responded thought premarital sex was all right. And that abortion was okay. Now, what did I say? In this survey, some years ago, 77% said they prayed. 87% felt like God was helping them and answering their prayers. But nearly half were saying it's okay to sleep with people that's not your mate. That premarital sex was okay. And killing little babies, abortion, is all right. I hope and I pray that I never, and of course won't be around, but I hope and I pray that not a one that was standing out there in that picture will ever be in a group of a survey that will stand up and say, premarital sex is all right. Or abortion is all right. Timothy, what did you learn? He learned the Scriptures. What did the Scriptures say? Wherefore, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. David and Goliath, when David was about 17 years of age, the Bible tells us he was a man of great faith in God. He was willing to face and did face Goliath. And you know what happened? One of our young boys was telling me the other day, I guess he's probably about 4 or 5 years old, and he was explaining what happened in that wonderful example of a man of God, David, taking on Goliath. Oh, my friend, let me tell you, Mary was also an example in the New Testament, some 17 maybe to 20 years of age, whenever she was to have Jesus. Joseph is another good example from Genesis chapter 3. There are some things that we need to remember that God has a plan, as we mentioned this from Jeremiah in my class this morning. He has a plan. He has a plan for all of us. And that plan is to do His will. Over in the book of Colossians chapter 3, in verse 16, there's a passage concerning singing. And then the Bible says that we are to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Why? Because this keeps us happy. Why are we happy? Because we're serving the Lord. Let me suggest to you, my friends, this morning, that surely God wants us all to trust in His judgment. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for the welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. As believers, we believe in what God has said, and we want to go where God wants us to go and do what God wants us to do. Surely, as we preach this lesson today, whatever God chose and wants you to choose, do that so that you may be indeed a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, these small children that we were standing with the other day, you know, they've got a tremendous wealth in that they have parents that really care for them and love them. I don't know of anybody from this church, any family, where there is a father that will abuse his children. And there's a mother that despises and hates her children. But I've been and I've seen. And I've seen children mistreated, abused. And I tell you what breaks your heart is to know that a child has been physically abused by a parent, sometimes even a grandparent. And that child, after he's been abused, will do what? Turn around and go and hug them. Why, they're humble. They love their parents. Did you know what? It's always been amazing to me that God told Titus to write that older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. How can a mother give birth to a child and then hurt, despise that child? Yes, young people at O'Neill, our children are so blessed to have parents, parents that love them and care for them. I read some time ago, you know, sometimes you get tired, though, with the kids, don't you? I know our young 9-year-old grandson comes over and spends a day or so with us, and pretty soon, since he knows everything already at this age, you know, at 9 years of age, we kind of get relaxed whenever he leaves. But we really are not glad that he's gone. Can you imagine what it must have been with Tabitha and Mark when Sarah Ann went off to the University of Alabama last year? It's tough when they grow up. Go by her bedroom. She's not in there. You remember that story that I read to you some time ago? Think about it. Here it is. One of these days you'll shout, "Why don't you kids grow up and act your age?" And they will. Or, "You guys get outside and find yourself something to do. And don't slam the door." And they won't. You'll straighten up the boys' bedroom neat and tidy, bumper stickers discarded, spread, tucked in and smooth, toys displayed on the shelves, hangers in the closets, animals caged, and you'll say out loud, "Now I want it to stay that way." And it will. You'll prepare a perfect dinner with a salad that hasn't been picked to death and a cake with no finger traces in the icing. And you'll say, "Now there's a meal for company." But you'll eat it all alone. You'll say, "I want complete privacy on the phone. No dancing around, no pantomiming, no demolition crews. Silas, do you hear? And you'll get it. No more plastic tablecloths stained with spaghetti. No more bedspreads to protect the sofa from damp bottoms. No more gates to stumble over at the top of the basement steps. No more clothespins under the sofa. No more playpens to arrange a room around. No more anxious nights under a vaporizer tent. No more sand on the sheets or Popeye movies in the bathrooms. No more iron-on patches, wet knotted shoestrings, tight boots or rubber bands for ponytails. Imagine having a lipstick with a point on it. No babysitter for New Year's Eve, washing only once a week. Seeing a steak that isn't ground, having your teeth cleaned without a baby on your lap. No PTA meetings, no carpools, no blaring radios, no one washing their hair at 11 o'clock at night. Having your own roll of tape. Think about it, class. Men and women, mamas and daddies, grandmas and grandpas, you'll have it made, won't you? The conclusion. No more sloppy oatmeal kisses. No more tooth fairies. No giggles in the dark. No needs to heal. You know what? No responsibility. Only a voice crying, "Why don't you grow up?" And the silence echoing, "I did, and they're gone." Suffer the little children, your small children, our small grandchildren. They mean so much to us. Love them. Show them you love them. And become like little children. Oh, brethren and sisters in the Lord, if we can just reach that point that even though they're gone from our household, what we did while they were with us will live on, because they'll never forget that wonderful home where Mom and Daddy took care of them. Came from 9 children, family of 9. I remember so well, go back in memories, where my mom and dad get us all together. We'd eat together in the dining room. Never a meal. My daddy was there who did not say the prayer. Never a meal without having us all in that house, there at that table. And there was a sign on the wall. There was a guest at our house. And that guest was Jesus Christ. I had a good mom and dad. A good home. We tried to make that for our children. Try to do the best you can. But let God help you. And just remember, as you walk with your children, your grandchildren, make sure you do everything you can that, as Steve was singing a little while ago, each step I take, and your children taking those same steps, someday will lead me home. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, won't you obey the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ? Believe in Jesus. Repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized. Yes, Matt Burns, he's a good baptizer already. And if you want to be baptized, though I couldn't do it myself, man, I'm sure would be glad to do it. I hope today, if you're subject anyway to His invitation, and if you're a child of God and you're not ready to go home, you haven't been the kind of father and mother that you ought to be in, the kind of person that God wants you to be, and the kind of person you want your children to be, do something about it. Won't you this morning ask God to forgive you, and let us pray with you and for you. Yes, come just as you are, because that's exactly as you are before Jesus Christ. If you're subject anyway, won't you come while together we stand?